Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome someone from the advertising and marketing world, Mr. Nazeem Iqbal. Nazeem, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ashutosh. Thanks for having me over for the show. It's a pleasure to be here and to speak about my own life journey.
Thank you. Nazeem is the founder and director of Experience Design. He's also the founder of HUDE Studio, which is, I believe, an acronym for Human Design. So let me start by asking you, Nazeem, tell me about your journey as a designer.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting and like Steve Jobs said, the connecting of the dot journey. You know, the earliest instinct that I have of ever being of something in the creative field was my reading instinct. You know? Earlier on, I was exposed and I grew up in Calcutta and in a very multicultural area. You had Boris, you had Anglo-Indians, you had Chinese, you had Bengalis, and these were the multicultural community I interacted with, you know. And part of that, I think, exposure was also exposure to comics, you know, one set of comics. So we had, I grew up reading Bahadur, you know, Batsman, Superman, you know, Phantom. And then there was another exposure, which in those days was a thriving Urdu literature. There was a magazine called Khilona, and then there used to be stories like Talsimi Shehzada, you know, Uran Khatola. So if you look at the comics and the stories, they were all there to stoke your imagination. And I think that's the foundation where my journey from where I am right now, you know, is, I think, started, you know, and that's the earlier instinct I have. And thereafter, the journey kind of moved on from there to, you know, I did my BA, I was doing BSc. But then, by the stroke of this push of the imagination, I would say, I switched midway from BSc to English honors, which was a drastic and disastrous move, you know, given that in my age, it was only about medical and engineering, you know, and thereafter mass communication, and then life started unfolding, and I finally came into the design.
Wonderful. So tell me about HUDE Studio, and what was your motivation to start this?
Yeah, HUDE Studio, if you look at it, it's a culmination of my own personal values and professional quest, you know. All along, even in large organization that I've been, you know, I've been in very small organization and with some very large organization. I was with Nokia leading in design function, in Sapient leading India, Sapient Interactive. All along, and these organizations, why I'm again referring to, they were very process-driven, you know. But in spite of all the processes the processes are that it makes it independent of the human fallacy, you know, make it foolproof. But in spite of that, I always kept people at the center of the entire process, you know? And because of my own faith in people and my own belief that it is people who are designing solution for people, you know. And I think that's the people narrative and the human narrative, which has kind of, you know, been there right from the beginning, been through maybe my own journey across large, small organizations. So that was one street. The second street was that, you know, all along I have seen that in the market, there is a gap which is creeping in, you know, and the consumers are kind of graduating to a level where they expect digital to fulfill not just their functional need, which is they go and buy something and you get in return, you pay something, you get. They also started expecting brands and started expecting digital to fulfill some of their social, some of their emotional needs, you know. And the technology layer or the digital layer, or even to a certain extent, the design layer was still fulfilling only those functional needs. Human design, the HUDE, you know, HUDE Studio is looking to kind of try and bridge that gap and help organization come closer, by infusing a human touch in their digital presence, in their digital transformation, and the digital journey to bring closer to the users and consumers and ultimately to humans.
You know? Very interesting. And you talk about human design and your quest to use design to humanize brands by forging connections, defining an experience, and telling your story. Help me understand this with some examples of brands that you have worked with.
Yeah, a couple of brands which immediately come to my mind, and I think principal among them would be Bharati AXA, because we kind of did a I call it design transformation. You know? Mm-hmm. You have digital transformation, but the heart of the digital transformation, and as we've seen in the last 10 years, you know, everybody invested so heavily in the name of digital transformation in technology, you know, and it has not been able to realize the potential that they were set out to achieve, you know, and because they missed the design bus, and which now the last 2-3 years, the organization are realizing that if you really want your interfaces, if you really want your product to talk to human, it is design which can help your product to talk to human. It is design which can help technology talk to people, you know, and that is where, what we kind of brought to Bharati AXA. Bharati AXA at that point of time was like one of the other insurance company, and they were pegging a lot of products. Not only was it was just product, you know, you buy a term insurance, you buy a life insurance, you buy a health insurance, but also their overall digital presence was multi-layered. You know? It was not linear, it was not simple, I would say. It was a complex multi-layered presentation. And so we kind of pitched the idea of saying, you know, why can't you be the human face of insurance? And they kind of just liked it, because and the whole proposition was that if you go in, you know, kind of to a consumer, they don't come with a mindset of, oh, I want to buy a life insurance, or I have to buy a term insurance. They come with a mindset that, okay, I have to fund my child's education. I have to build, I have to save enough to build a house. I have to save enough that if anything happens, there is something to look after my children, my wife, you know, that's the mindset. So we said, okay, why don't we just take this and put it up front as the question, and you become the organization who's answering those questions with your product coming at the backside of the answers that you're saying. So you have become a human question, and you are there to solve those questions. Insurance questions in the context. And also one very important thing, if you see that insurance product, if you look at, they're not functional product. They have a very strong emotion, you know, on which they ride, which is hope. And hope is a very human defining emotion, you know, which distinguish possibly animal and a human, you know, which is hope, you know. And insurance, all insurance, most of the insurance are taken with the hope. Okay, I will kind of, you know, and which is the overriding emotion. So we kind of took it and then we built the, so if you look at it, this is not just design. There is a concept of repositioning of the brand, you know, if you look at it. And we kind of repositioned it. And from there, you know, the interface flowed. We had a human face. We had these questions. And we did, because also the target audience was millennial, we kind of took the language of card or Instagram card, which is very millennial in terms of his rendition, you know, and win, bring out all the winning moments and put it on the home page, you know, and thereafter the product also follow the same narrative where it's more human focus and more.
Okay. So, you know, the from time immemorial, the desire of every marketer is to get an emotional connection with the consumer. I mean, it's a very old, I mean, for years I've been in marketing and I've seen that happening. In today's digital world, what goes into building a successful brand?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I also kind of started off journey with trying to be in advertising, and then internet happened and I kind of veered into internet, you know. So I think the concept of brand building has changed. I would not say dramatically or radically, but it has altered, you know, the last 10 years. And then especially, again, a small flip during the COVID period. And if you look at, if I were to, you know, look at a brand today, I look him at as a human person. It's a human person.
Right.
And it has its own dressing sense. It has a personality. It need to have a conversation style. And then also it need to have the important, it need to have empathy. you know, and if you look at, if we look, go back, we have been through a very large, a crisis which has not been seen in the last 150 years, which mm-hmm. is a crisis, you know. And it is around that time, you know, consumers were looking back mm-hmm. in a time of dire need, dire strait.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those brands? Where those, my friends during the happy times,
mm-hmm.
are they there in this time also? So largely, you know, in this age, the more human a brand is, the more chances of it to become, you know, successful. Mm-hmm. And which include being truthful, being honest, you know, and I think these attributes which resonate with a lot of new marketers, you know, new mm-hmm. age marketers.
Okay.
The more, and the more transparent, because this is all human attribute. You have to be, yes, you have to be smart, you have to be aspirational, but you don't lose out, you know, or you don't take consumer on a ride. Those days are away when we, the consumers will. So I think the key thing today is a brand, you know, the more human it is, the more transparent it is, the better chance of it for prosper and resonate with the target audience.
Okay. And, you know, over the last 4.5 decades, I have seen people are, you know, using Bollywood celebrities to communicate or develop an emotional connect. They are using cricket stars now, more and more other sports people. And yet there is this new breed of influencers and micro-influencers.
Yeah, yeah.
What is your thought on how the influencers and micro-influencers will be able to help to evolve an emotional connection?
Yeah, see, if you look at it, the growth of the influencers is just an endorsement that digital is becoming more human. No, in fact, if you were to look at it, digital is the more human version of technology. Now, if you look at 10 years ago, when 15 years ago, when the technology layer was there, even in an organization, not everybody used to relate to technology. It was only technology people. Now, when the technology evolved into a digital ecosystem, that it becomes more relatable to humans, both within the organization and beyond the organization. So if you look at it, digital is the human version of technology, you know, and the growth of influencer is just an endorsement of that. But if you look at the, if we step back and you go 20, 30 years back, if you look in the public space, they were influencers. They were influencers who were, you know, people who were, where who had, who carried a lot of knowledge on finance market, a lot of knowledge about food. Okay, by, you know, people say, okay, I'm not having a good day, you know, not having good digestion. Why don't you go and meet this person? He will have a tip or two. You know? And then we also had Bhairupiyas. You may be aware of Bhairupiyas, you know, people who would impersonate for 7 days, 8 days, come in different, you know, and entertain people.
Right.
You know, so I would say that in these influencers are nothing new. It is just, it is showing that the digital is becoming more and more human, and it is becoming more closely intertwined with the public space in which we have been living. And the big thing is that they are more accessible.
Okay.
And their influence area is far greater. And also this brings to us the other aspect of ethics, you know. That now, because you have these influencers, everybody have access to them. People who are very simpleton, people who are street smart, everybody has access to them. You know, so I think this drive of saying, like, I will go back to that example, which is somebody will say, okay, why don't you go and talk to them? Now you have that person's endorsement. He is referring. Whereas in a open market, you don't have such a filter. It is all content is available. Now, even if the content is lifted, content is fictitious, it is easily available. So like if I were to take that person's role, saying, okay, why don't you go and talk to Ramesh Ji? You know, he would guide you about what to take during your... Now, he's a reference, he's a filter. In the open market, we need such a filter, whether it is technology-driven, people-driven, or the society at large come and try to act as a filter, we need that filter.
Interesting.
And that is very, very important for contextualizing the influencer and making them more meaningful.
Okay. And the whole world of communication has changed as well. I mean, you know, from big cinema halls to big television sets, billboards, we've now come down to the simple, small phone in our hands. How has this entire change of formats started to change the way you design your communication in a much, much shorter period of time?
So I think we should look at it from the other way, that the television, the newspaper, and the devices have not changed, but also to a greater degree, the people who use them have changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have changed where they now access their news, first from digital and second from the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
They have changed that they buy first from the mobile, especially in the urban area, and less from the physical market. So I think if the change is happening at the consumer, at the people layer, you know, at the society layer, then everything need to change to accommodate their need. And it's a good reflection. Also, it brings a lot of connectedness. Yes, what the caveat here is that in getting so glued into the digital surfaces, you know, we should not lose touch with the real world, which is and that is where in one of the article I've written, the loneliness is rooted and born out of the digital connectedness. You know, and that's one big caveat that we have of too many, because we are in a virtual world, we don't have real world friends and real, you know, but from the media perspective of coming print, television, I think it's a good development. They have to serve the same population. From the television, if you look at it, their TV has graduated from internet TV to now a social TV, where it allows for you to have a second screen. You are watching a program on the second screen. You are exchanging note and having a conversation with people in the social media about the program which is going on. If we look at the newspaper, they have integrated with WhatsApp. They have integrated with other such element by having the digital footprints, where, you know, they do offline, online quizzes. And also, I think with the coming of virtual reality with AI, you know, I think the experience will become more and more richer and will provide relevance to them in terms of their existence.
Very interesting. I have time for two more questions. My next question is, how is technology changing the way you are doing your work?
It's quite interesting. You know, I am in the design space, marketing, communication, and product design space. And if I go back 20 years ago, not even 20 years ago, if I go back, let's say 12, 14 years ago, the space has tremendously changed. It is, in fact, it is changing every, the pace of change is even faster nowadays.
Yeah.
And earlier, a lot of things which used to be done on Photoshop, and for which you first need to visualize, you know, and then find the asset or create an asset which kind of capture the rough outline of your thought, and then you develop it further, give it a polish. Now a lot of these tools, they have become like a blackboard, a black book, you know, for advertising, where you go, you already have so many ideas, and you kind of so for a middle rung player, become very easy to visualize. You know, you have all the tools, you just have to put together,
right?
But then also, which also means that there is a segment of a work which is being produced, which is just extension of what the other person produced. You know, the sameness of design, the templatization of communication, you know, and wherein I think which kind of brings me to another very key aspect, you know, which is that one of the key thing that the designers, especially because I'm from the design fraternity and communication fraternity, is to not become a slave of the tools and technology. As the narrative is growing that AI will replace a lot of jobs, you know, but things which require human imagination, you know, the things which require, you know, human, which intertwine human hope, mm-hmm. human thinking, will never get replaced. You know? So I think that is extremely important, that in spite of all the technology which is evolving, like I said, you know, we have now a lot of things which are readily available, things which you would take 2 days to produce can be easily now produced within, like, you have low code websites.
Mm.
You just go drag drop. Now you have low code apps, you know, where you just drag drop the modules and the app is ready. The website is ready. Earlier, when I started off, the coding was to be done on a notepad. HTML coding was on a notepad. You know? So I think it is all evolving. And especially in the last 4 or 5 years, I think there is a tremendous, you know, flip in the development which has happened and during the COVID period. But I think the central to that and central to having an original narrative running across all of these,
hmm.
and to have a exotic packaging to all of this is, you know, keeping your thinking cap on. Because at the end of the day, we all have to remember that technology, no matter how advanced it becomes, you know, it is serving a human need.
Right.
And it is a tool in the hand of a human who is using it to serve some other person's need.
Okay.
Some business needs. You know?
Okay.
This is the core thing which we should never go out of fashion, and we should not, people who are looking at a long term, should not let it go out of fashion.
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Nazim, which is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation, what would your advice be to young marketers who are starting off on their journey?
So one, I think one would be that be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, if I reflect back at my own life as such, you know, when I say honest, it is not just at the honesty level as a person, mm-hmm. but the marketer also, you know, there are a lot of campaigns, and because this is the insider group, which are built by plug and play of post pre-existing campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of communication happens plug and play, you know,
mm-hmm.
Which is not honest. If you look at it, I built it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's Mr. Ramesh who comes in. I say, okay, let's take what I've produced for Ashutosh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use part of that in Mr. Ramesh. They're not being honest, number one. Number two, when I say honest is also, whom are you serving?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serving the VP marketing? Are you serving the CMO? Are you building the campaign for the CMO?
Mm-hmm.
Are you building it for the VP marketing? Are you building it for the CEO? Are you building it for the consumers? Are you building it for the users who are going to use the product?
Mm-hmm.
It's the key honesty here. Many a times I've been, you know, in scenarios where there are a lot of idiosyncratic thought,
mm-hmm.
and there are a lot of whims of the CXO layers, you know, and we kind of in our struggle, the easy way out, okay, what is being asked is what mm-hmm. we provide.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just say, let's just lose sight of the consumers, just lose sight of the user, you know, and we kind of just focus on what is being asked, you know. This is not being honest. Because our honesty as a marketer, as a communication expert, is with the target audience. And the target audience, the CXOs, the VPs, and all these people, they are stakeholders. They are not the ultimate whom we are responsible. We are responsible for. So this is honesty.
Wonderful.
Honesty of the craft. Honesty of whom you are serving.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one key thing, you know. The other key thing is that I think, especially young people who are starting off, I would say in the organization, when you get in, there's a huge hierarchy, you know. I think the first 3 years, you should connect more and listen more to the people who are below you and less connected and, you know, hear to what there are people above you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is important that you learn the ground, they get the grounding, learn the ground rules before you start, you know, looking higher.
Okay.
So these two advice I would
fantastic. Fantastic. Nazim, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for sharing your journey and some amazing thoughts on branding, design, and communication. Thank you again and good luck.
Thanks. Thanks, Ashutosh, for having me here and wish you all the best.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the Brand Called You.